leaders. What keeps you up at night? Welcome to The Sweet Spot, the podcast series that expands the traditional term of what a boss is to tackle some of the most important issues in business. From business as usual and growing your market to everyday leadership issues or handling one in 100 year events, we aim to provide ongoing inspiration and education for CEOs, founders, management, shareholders, and leaders of every stripe. The Sweet Spot is the future of work and business.
Trish Peng is a New Zealand couture designer. Behind the iconic pink doors at her flagship Auckland store, you'll find her dedication to her craft in the timeless pieces she designs. Her passion lies in innovation. She created the world's first reversible dress, and now she has a new offering for pre-loved and sample dresses to save on waste while donating to charity. Listen on as Caitlin and LaShawn chat to Trish about building her passion into a brand.
Thank you so much for being with us here today, Trish. Caitlin and I are very excited to speak with you.
Very excited.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I don't know if you remember, but I actually met you in 2016 at the New Zealand Fashion Show.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. That was, I think, when you had your record-breaking long red dress.
Yeah.
And I was one of the helpers for the fashion show, and I remember you were setting it up and you actually needed someone to hold up the trail, and I was like, yeah, like, I'll help.
Aww.
And I remember I was like, this, your persona, the way you were, you know, I was like, okay, this lady is incredible.
Thank you.
And that was my favorite dress out of the whole fashion show. That was my favorite dress. It was iconic. So I want to start right from the beginning. You know, obviously you've built an amazing name for yourself now, but how did you get started on this journey? Was design and creativity part of your childhood?
So it's definitely been a journey. I knew when I was 7 that I wanted to be a fashion designer. I didn't know it was going to be bridal. And I had parents, Chinese parents, who were like, do you want to be a lawyer, doctor? Are you sure about that? I was like, no, I want to be a designer. So from then on, they were so supportive. And from then on, I had a goal, which was, I guess in 2 words, Vera Wang.
Yeah. Yeah,
so nice. From then on, kind of studied it. I went to Wycliffe College, also taught myself how to sew before then. Then I had my kind of business plan, which we had to do as part of the course. And I just had my logo, designed the logo, and designed the business plan, and went for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty much I was studying whilst kind of creating custom dresses for clients in the weekends, whilst working at Trelease Cooper, kind of just doing it all, entering every competition I could to get the name out there. And when I graduated, I just thought, let's do it.
Yeah. That's really interesting because I can definitely relate to the whole breaking cultural barriers because I'm Indian. And of course, when I said to my parents I wanted to do communications, you know, luckily my parents were supportive, but obviously there is that in Asian culture, if you're not a doctor or engineer, you basically don't have a career.
Yes.
So that's really interesting. I mean, obviously we both had supportive parents, but what about your extended family? Did they have any commentary or any?
Well, my parents migrated here 35 years ago by themselves. So technically their first generation. And so they were the generation that couldn't really take risk. I mean, moving here was taking a risk, but they had to kind of have the foundation of how do I kind of feed the family.
Yeah.
So because mum and dad kind of built that foundation and kind of started their own business from nothing, like nothing to do with fashion. It was like aircon, refrigeration. And so I guess they kind of drilled it in us that they want us to have a better life than they did. So that was drilled in me from a young age. So I guess, yeah, they inspired me to start my own business,
yeah,
and to take risks.
Yeah,
that's the generation that can, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's very, very relatable, because obviously, you know, when you do see your parents working so hard, like my parents, we came here in 2000, I was 6 years old, you know, 2003 we came. And so, yeah, I guess it would you, and you've kind of mentioned it just before that, you know, a lot of your, that rigor that you need, especially when it comes to the fashion industry, mm-hmm. is from seeing your parents do so well, so and that, true. You know, that grind that you have to mm-hmm. do. Yeah, so let's fast forward a little bit to the iconic pink doors.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that moment, mm-hmm. because I think, you know, that would have been very special after entering and working here and there, like you're seeing your own, you know, vision come to life.
Totally. That was so rewarding. It was a tricky time though. So that was 2020, mm-hmm. March 2020.
Oh.
I had opened the doors and had to shut them week later. For what was that lockdown, like 6 weeks? So
yeah.
So that was, oh God, so stressful. Had just hired my first employee. Because before then, I had contracted everything out. I just kept everything quite lean. And then I was like, you know what, I've built the name now. I can really go for it. So hired her and then boom, lockdown. Didn't even know her. She's working from home. Calling each other. What was the question?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I can relate, because March 2020, it was like we'd never seen anything like this before. Yeah. I recall when we went to level 3, I was like, oh my goodness, what is level 3?
Totally.
And then level 4. And we were just like, this, because nothing had ever happened before. So I could have imagined that moment was very scary, especially when you're about to launch something new.
Totally.
Because no one saw what the future was going to be.
No.
All we were hearing around the world is a lot of debts happening, you know, and then slowly we started seeing all businesses close down.
Yeah.
How did you, and I guess you had one employee at that stage, how, as a business leader, how did you make sure at that stage, at a critical stage, your cup was full and you were inspiring your, yeah.
I guess you just have to switch to leader mode, right? So if you're scared, then they're scared. So I just had to just kind of be like, everything's going to be fine. I'm fine. I'm good. Are you good?
Have you seen that meme where you're like, I'm fine and the whole house is burning around you?
Fine. Pretty much like that. But we got through that. Mm-hmm. And from then on, the pink iconic doors started kind of popping up on social media, Instagram, of people kind of collecting their dresses and taking photos in front of those doors. I guess it is a bit of an iconic backdrop. You always see it on people's grams. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. You just went there and took a photo.
Well, it's great.
We were close.
Yeah. So were brides still coming on and obviously because the wedding industry as well, you know, everyone had to cancel their venues.
Yes.
My colleague, Jade, I think, had to cancel her wedding like two times, you know?
Yeah. So we've had so many brides postpone. I mean, what is it? 3 years now. And we're still kind of getting those brides coming back because they decided to have a baby.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Because your dress still fit. We'll make it fit. All right. So didn't forecast that whilst opening the store, but no, it's been great. It's been a great journey. Learned a lot. And now we've actually grown through the pandemic and expanded with the yours truly.
I wanted to speak about that actually. You were just saying about making dresses fit. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I sort of came across your brand when I heard about yours truly, and I thought that's really entrepreneurial to come up with this platform where you can buy and sell wedding gowns but still have that full experience of having it tailored and the options and the treat, you know, of going in. And yeah, tell me a little bit about that. What was
I guess the background is, you know, Trish Peng as a brand is more luxe. It's high-end, higher price-pointed. And we had a lot of brides being like, hey, you know, any of your brides wanting to sell? Yes, so many of them. And so there was like such a market for reselling the wedding dresses. And we were kind of doing it in the pink doors. But the pink doors, it's quite an intimate boutique. We take one bride at a time. And so we thought, oh, there's such a market for this, but no one really wants to do it online, right? There's those Facebook groups, but you don't want someone in your house kind of trying on your whole wedding dress. We expanded out the back. So basically, same landlord, Stolen Girlfriends was out the back then, and the landlord was like, hey, look, they're leaving. Do you want the space? I'm like, that space is four times the size as the front. I was like, I want it. I don't think I'm ready because I wanted to have my own workroom, right? That was also the dream. But the workroom doesn't make money, right? So how do you cover the rent? So I thought, hey, why don't we expand that pre-loved side of the business because it was such a market for it. And so, boom, I was like, let's do it. And let's take on other designers, not just mine.
Yeah.
So we kind of now we've shifted so it's like designer brands but at an accessible price point. And we've got sample dresses from like Rue de Seine, that incredible New Zealand brand. They kind of send us all of their samples. And pre-loved and even our like diffusion line of dresses that I've designed but accessible price point. Yeah.
No, I love the platform because it's like, what else do you do with your dress? I mean, does it hang and gather mothballs? I mean,
Sometimes it does. But we had to kind of limit it to be like, okay, only dresses that are 5 years old because you'd get people in like submitting dresses that were from the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, people don't really want that
now. No.
Yeah.
No, things move on.
Yeah. And, you know, I was, you're not, you know, I'm going to read out some of the headlines. When you Google Trish Pang's name, I'm going to read out some of the headlines. Record-breaking longest trail, world's first reversible wedding dress. When it comes to standing, setting sort of world-class standards, you're no newcomer.
Break a few boundaries.
Yeah, break a few boundaries. I want to get a little bit into your creative mindset. What is that like? Do you have periods where it's just design, creativity, or tell me about your creative mindset.
Yeah, well, with those kind of headlines, we didn't really set out to break them, you know.
Right.
We just thought outside of the box, what can we do? And those were like kind of around Fashion Week. What can we do to set ourselves apart from other brands? And we just, I mean, I've read the longest red train. I mean, it was the longest train ever to appear on a catwalk. I mean, how has no one done that? You know, I mean, it was just simple. And I didn't think I broke a world record until the Daily Mail came out with it. I just thought, let's just do a really long train and do it in a red color that was, you know, Chinese, prosperity, good luck, all that.
Nice.
And then boom. And then reversible, because I had a bride who was like, oh man, I wish I could wear this. Like, I can't decide between lace and plain. I wish I could turn it inside out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can figure it out. Yeah. And so we figured it out, you know, just stuff like that. I didn't think I was like, wow, we're so creative. Mm-hmm. I just kind of thought we brainstormed with my team, how do we make things a little bit different? Mm-hmm. And then they got headlines.
Do you have any fears around that when you're thinking outside the box and you're about to push something out there? Do you ever think, oh no, I might be ridiculed for this?
Well, I've got thick skin. So I'm always the one coming up with ideas and being like, oh my God, we could do this. And then Ashley, my manager, is always the one, which is so good to have, being like, love that, Trish, but did you ever think about this? Or, you know, is that, can we achieve that? Yeah. So it's good to have
the yin and the yang. Yeah. And I guess maybe diving a little deeper, you know, how important is creativity in a business and having that creative thinking? And what are some of the ways you cultivate your creativity?
I guess creativity is so important in the field that I'm in, right? So it's, I guess I'm more bridal rather than fashion, but in that whole fashion clothing industry, it is coming up with something new. I guess for me, I get my creative things flowing when I'm designing custom dresses for brides, which I love because, you know, I bring in their vision, but bring in my vision and we, you know, kind of create something magical. Then it's kind of creating collections it's once a year, but now we're launching brides. It's been a lot. 3 collections a year, really, wow, across the multiple brands. So, yeah, creativity. It's a lot for the brain.
Do you have... So obviously you talked about your kind of, you come up with all these ideas. Do you draw? Do you have, tell me a little bit about that, because that's exciting.
So I used to draw on, you know, paper with pencil and in front of the bride, and then they'd be like, could you do it like this? I'd be like, like, have to start all over again, you know. So now it's on, with technology, we do it on an iPad with an iPad pencil. Incredible. On Procreate, the app.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, you want something customized? Yeah. Oh, just remove that layer. Look at it now. Yeah. So that's been a game changer for us. And then you can print, export to the printer. There you go. Here's your sketch. Take it home.
Yeah. And from when you sort of started to where you are now, did you find that you came up against any misconceptions about women in business? And I mean, now that you're an international success, do you still come up against those misconceptions?
Yes and no. So I deal with majority women in the industry. Yeah. So women try to empower women. There's the odd one that doesn't. But I don't really think it's based on the gender. I think it's more tall poppy syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I found. So, you know, the whole tall poppy, if you are successful, people try to see the negative and chop you down. Yeah. So... you do find, I have experienced a little bit of that.
But not so in the US? Do you think the culture is different there?
Culture is different. Over there, everyone just, they're not humble, right? I found in the US, even if they like gotten, I don't know, won a medal when they were 10 years old, they are still bragging about that, you know? Whereas here, I find Kiwis are quite humble. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about tall poppy syndrome. Can you give us some tips and techniques to our listeners? Anyone listening out there who's kind of starting out new, starting out in the industry, who's kind of experiencing that, how do you deal with it?
I think you just really have to grow thick skin in the business and not care about what other people think. You're on a journey. You've got your end goal and, you know, surround yourself around your positive, empowering friends, like-minded people. Cut all the energy suckers away and just end of day, just be happy, right? If you're around people, your friends, your family, supportive people, who cares about what other people think?
Yeah. And I guess... one thing that you said is I want to talk a little bit about happiness. What is happiness to you? What is your definition of happiness? Because I can assume over the years, we all experience different levels of happiness. They all kind of changes as well.
Yeah.
What is your definition of happiness?
That's a good question. It's just being happy with your loved ones. For me, it's my partner, Tim. It's my family. I'm so close with them. It's my dogs. It's my friends. It's being around, being at work. I mean, you are at work, I'd say, majority of your life, right?
Yes.
Actually, you go home to see your loved ones, but you're a 40-hour week at work. So you've got to enjoy what you love, right? Don't settle for the money or whatnot. Go for what you're passionate about, what brings you happiness.
Yeah. And at work, I mean, there will always be ups and downs, good 100%. Times and bad times.
Oh, totally.
Do you sort of find that you have to protect that personal time? Do you have any way that you sort of try and do that, especially running this business? This is your brand. Do you sort of have to protect personal?
For sure. It's a balance, right? So it's a work-life balance, and I make sure that as soon as I get home, I shut off. I do not open my laptop unless it's urgent. But nothing's really that urgent that you can't reply to tomorrow.
Yeah, that's important.
So, yeah, I make a point to switch off. I mean, I see my emails coming through my phone. Lovely. I'm aware of what's going on, but
this can wait till tomorrow.
This can wait till tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. So it is having that work-life balance or you'll just burn out.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit because obviously from what you're saying, it sounds like you have a very high-performing team.
Best team.
Best team.
Yeah.
That's so important. Yeah. That's everything, isn't it?
So we grew from my one employee 2020 and now what are we, 2022? There is 8 of us full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And okay. I think 4 others that, are part time. Yeah.
And how do you create that culture and how do you, as a business leader, how can you create high performing teams?
Well, I think, it's kind of building that morale, right? So and try give more than you take from them, right? And I always say, like, they're my team, you know. A lot of people will be like, oh, yeah, my employee, this is my employee. I'll be like, oh, she's part of my team, you know, we're a team. Wednesdays we do yoga, so I just finished yoga this morning, team. Our production manager, she teaches it. So then we get in the morning, get all zen, midweek. Mm-hmm. But it's all, it's kind of making sure that they can communicate with you, they can talk to you about anything, right? Because if they're scared to bring anything up, then it all bottles up and then they start resenting you. So, I mean, it's all new to me. So if someone has more advice for me, I'd love that. But so far, so good. Haven't had anyone leave.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I guess you've kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's dive a little bit deeper into the meaning of success. What does success look like for you after obviously seeing your parents, seeing their hard work and now experiencing 2020 and obviously now you're traveling between LA. And so tell me a little bit about what success looks like for you.
Yeah. Everyone has a different measure of success. So I would say, don't compare yourselves with others is the main point. But my idea of success has always been dreaming big. So again, just a touch point on the two words, Vera Wang. she's like a global empire, right? So in my mind, I feel like I'm nowhere near my end goal. I know that I'm doing well, but my definition of success, growing up was always that. But now, my definition of success is almost to be happy, and I'm very happy right now. So if I didn't get there, I'd be so happy with where I am now.
I was going to ask, the definition of success for you must have changed from the beginning to where you are now. I mean,
I still got goals, but happy.
Yes.
Yeah. And how do you set out your goals? So do you, in the beginning of the year, do you do the whole new me, new year, me?
I've tried that in the past and it doesn't stick.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think mine has just always been long-term goal to be globally recognized, kind of to be stocked in every city, every major city, in every kind of bridal boutique. So it's not opening my own bridal boutiques, it's stocking in other boutiques. And so, we've got a handful of stockers, and so that's how we can scale the business. That's my end goal.
And taking Trish Ping Global, what has that been like? What was that sort of journey like? How did you start?
Oh, tricky. So when I first started, so it was 2014, and I kind of thought, well, if I want to be globally recognized, I what better market than America, right? So I had kind of packed my bags and moved to LA and kind of hustled there. But realistically, you need to know your own New Zealand market before you try jump ship and expand into a massive, massive market where like every state has a different tax. Different GST, different rules, different laws. So I would say if you want to expand, nail your own country first. And so that was a big learning for me that I, just started out, didn't even know how to run a business, let alone one in America. But hustled. And what was good was I networked with all the kind of wedding industry there, because the wedding industry is actually quite small in LA. Everyone kind of knows everyone. And so from there, I was able to kind of grow the stockists. But I was like burnt out because I was flying back and forth LA, New Zealand, LA every 6 to 8 weeks. And I'm like, that is taxing. I mean, I was in my 20s, so it was great. Felt like I was living the life. But it wasn't a way to really scale the business because I'm one person doing custom dresses, trying to build it. It wasn't until I came home end of 2018 to be like, okay, look, I need to just be grounded in one city, one country, figure it out, and then scale by stocking wholesale.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of times about burnout. Let's talk a little bit about that. I've recently seen a lot of headlines saying, "Oh, burnout is now becoming the new buzzword or whatever."
Yeah,
it's
the phrase on everyone's lips.
But I think it's so important. Like, I think that it's great that people are recognizing this. What did you learn about burnout, and how do you not burn out and save your your creative energy?
Yeah. So it's all about balance again, because through the hardship, I'd be sewing all night, be crying on my sewing machine, and you're just like, but once, I mean, that comes with pressure, right? And so once you hit that pressure threshold, if you hit it again, you're like, oh, I've dealt with that before. And then you can reach another threshold of pressure. So it does keep increasing. But there is a point where you will be burnt out if you do not kind of balance it. So it's work isn't everything. It's a lot of your week, a lot of your life, but it's not everything. So it's like being active, practicing yoga or meditate. It's like having a healthy mindset as well as being active. I don't know, these endorphins. So it's having that balance for sure.
And is that the sort of thing you do to kind of completely disengage from work? Can you completely disengage from work?
Yes and no. I guess when your work is your passion.
And my work is my name as well. It's hard. Totally. But it's for me personally, I play netball, indoor netball twice a week. So that on the court, you're not thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's, it's yoga, it's Pilates or bar. So it's switching off, or like just what is good is if you're someone who needs to like have a plan, write it down. What are you going to do that week? Is it, have a goal, go for a walk or work out 2-3 times a week. Set your goals for the week, I'd say. Because otherwise, if you're just constantly doing one thing or like working, you're going to burn out no matter what industry.
Yeah, I think people are starting to sort of realise the importance of exercise. It's not a nice-to-do thing. It's a must-do thing. It actually keeps us healthy at
work.
Mind,
body, soul.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to talk a little bit about the fashion world. Obviously, it's forever changing, new season, new look, so many trends, chrome nails, this, that, which I see you have, and they look amazing. Is it like that in the bridal world as well?
There's always trends, but everything is quite classic, timeless, right? So yes and no. You get the odd trend that you're like, oh, are you really going to like that next year? not even in 20 years, the next year. So when we design, I always design with my aesthetic in mind, which is feminine, elegant, like beautiful, timeless. So my collections, you know, some of them are still on the rack from the beginning, you know, and they're just classic pieces that brides still want
to
wear.
Do you ever feel a pressure to sort of jump on some of those trends?
Yes. When you get brides coming in being like, do you have this?
Yeah.
Do you have like poofy sleeves?
I'm oh,
like,
my yeah.
I will have it next week.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you mentioned before our chat that, you know, with different countries, you see different personalities, different brides. Can you tell us maybe about a moment where you've handled a difficult bride and how you're...
Yes. So the Kiwi brides are super chill, super friendly. It's the... I mean, Americans going to listen to this podcast?
It's going to be available worldwide.
Well, so I was dealing with Beverly Hills brides, right?
Wow.
So it's they're more bougie. What they want is like bigger and better than their brand.
Mm.
So I did have a particular bride who wanted a whole dress made out of feathers. And she's
Oh wow.
I don't care what bird you kill, Trish. I just want a full feathered gown. I'm not going to go shoot a bird down to create your dress. So ended up making it, loved it. But throughout the process, it was almost the entitlement of like, I mean, she called it like 5 p.m., like closing time. Then, you know, it was like 9 a.m. And then she calls, if no one gets back to me on when my fitting time is with Trish, I'm going to sue the beep out of you. Yeah. And so we're like, oh my God, you called it like during closing hours. But like, to sue? What?
Yeah.
You know?
Suing culture, like everyone in America, I'm going to sue you.
Crazy. It's completely different here. Whereas everyone here is just, oh, she'll get back to me.
Yeah. And so that's, I feel like that can be a bit scary and almost stop that creative process, you know, because you're so like always on edge.
How did you
get through it and also like help your team through it as well?
I mean, you just have to put on a face and kind of with customer service, it's always about the customer, right? So do what it takes to make them happy, because also a bad review travels, word of mouth travels, you know, so we just got through it.
But then there must be that sort of balance of trying to stay true to yourself at the same time.
Yes.
Keep the customer happy. But
yeah. I know. And so it wasn't until, I kind of moved back to New Zealand and just focused on New Zealand brides that I was, so much happier. so much more chilled.
Yeah. And is there anything that you're excited about for the future of your brand?
Oh, well, we
anything that you can say?
Oh, yes. We're launching Trish Payne Bridesmaids in October.
Oh, my gosh.
It was such a market for it. You know, everyone being like, oh, I've got my dress with you. Like, do you recommend anywhere? And there's only a handful of places.
Yeah.
And so we thought there was a real market for it. Launching that in October.
It's very exciting, especially for the brides to be able to bring the bridesmaids in and, you know, have the whole experience.
And I have to ask this, but what has the feedback been from your parents seeing you grow like this?
Oh, super proud, yeah. Super close with them, and so, like, I see them every day, so they probably don't report to me about how I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I think they're proud.
On that though, do you think that you take time to kind of stop and look back and reflect and just be proud of yourself?
I think I don't do it enough.
Yeah. It's easy to just move on, isn't it?
Yeah. So one of my girlfriends, like we are both Capricorn and we're both we say we're like doers. So yeah, like
Capricorns are very hardworking people.
Yeah.
They're the little goat who keeps climbing up the hill.
And so there's a thing called your like primal animal, and it's to do with your star sign mixed with your Chinese zodiac, which is a horse. And so our primal animal is a salmon, and it says that we just keep swimming upstream. So like we that. Both say that we are bad at that. We don't celebrate our wins. We just go on to the next thing. So I need to get better.
But it's hard, right? When you're such a high achieving person, you just kind of want to move on to the next thing, set your next goals. Yeah. So that's, I can kind of relate to that because you just want to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm a rat in the Chinese zodiac.
Oh, let's find your primal animal.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Taurus.
Okay.
And I am a rat in the Chinese. So I don't know what that would. So
there's a whole website. Okay. And then it takes a while to read. But it kind of delves into everything. And it's usually spot on. Yeah. So it talks about your personal life, your work life.
Yeah.
Your love life.
And one thing that I've noticed, Trish, and like I said, when I met you in 2016, I noticed this as well, is that I feel like you're very kind. You're a very kind person. Oh, okay. And I want to know, like, how important is kindness when you're in this industry?
Thank you. Yeah. I always make a point to be kind because you never know what someone's going through or what, you know. Just be kind. I can't stand rude people, especially to, wait staff or Uber drivers. It just gets under my skin. So I think if everyone could be kind, then this world would be a much better place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I think that answers all my questions.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been such a fantastic chat. We've gotten to know so much about you, and it was really special hearing about where you kind of get this rigor from,
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I hope I covered everything.
Yeah, like, no, it's been absolutely fantastic. Now, if our listeners want to reach out to you, check out your work, can you give us where they can find you?
Absolutely. So I guess Instagram would be the most up-to-date content. So that would be at Trish Peng. Then our website, if you want to get in touch.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for the chat, Trish.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please like, review, or share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn under Alexander PR, or follow the links in the show notes below. Until next time, thank you for listening.